This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. Technology is changing constantly in broadcast television and radio. Over the next several months, spectrum repacking will affect local television stations and have a temporary impact on how certain listeners will access WVXU and WGUC. To demystify the technology and explain the implications of spectrum repacking for listeners, we are joined today by the president and CEO of Cincinnati Public Radio, which operates WVXU and WGUC, Richard Eisworth, and the executive director of the National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting, Jack Dominick. If you want to join the discussion, call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. Well, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
It's nice to be here.
Yeah, Rich and Jack. I mean, this is old home week here. Jack, let's just begin. What's behind the spectrum repacking?
Money. Money.
Yeah, but what is it? What are we talking about here?
Well, you'll remember in the olden days that television stations, in the analog days, did you ever notice they were always separated? Like you had a 5 in Cincinnati, but you didn't have a 6, and you didn't have a 7 mm-hmm. or an 8, but you had a 9. And then did you have a 10? No. There were separations, and there was a reason for that. You had to separate the channels in order not to interfere with one another. So then we came to digital, okay? And in digital, they really weren't sure. Did they really need that much separation or not? Could you have a 31 and a 32 and a 33? Well, so they still separated stations so that you didn't have them on top of each other. But they figured out, you know, you don't need that separation any longer. So you can now have channels adjacent to one another. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, obviously we don't have a 1. So that's caused the FCC to say, hey, we could open up a lot more spectrum. Spectrum is very important because the same spectrum channels, radio frequency that we use for TV or radio is also used for your smartphone and your Wi-Fis and all of those things. So the FCC said, if we can compress where we put these TV stations, we can open up some spectrum. So over the next couple years, most TV stations in the United States are going to move their channels. So if you were on channel 32, you may be going to channel 31, et cetera. That's really what's happening.
So it's a way of opening things up and then redistributing those, which means they get to
sell it,
resell it, which means gets back to your original point about money. Rich, how does this – Jack was talking about TV. How does this impact radio?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. It affects radio stations whose broadcast antennae happen to be on the same tower, same towers as the television stations that are involved in this repack. Simply put, you have to have a tower crew climb on the tower. They've got to, you know, jimmy around with antennas and move things around. And for the sake of those people on the tower who have an interest in never having progeny, broadcasters on the tower either have to cease broadcasting or reduce their power significantly. We happen to be on the tower that is owned by WCPO, and WCPO is involved in this repacking. So when their engineers are on the tower climbing around and adjusting and removing and adding antenna, our broadcast, for all intents and purposes, as we understand right now, have to cease.
So our broadcast, which means what goes out on the air.
That's right.
So will this affect what's online? Because
no,
people
it will
also
not.
Listen to us online.
Yes, they do. And online, their desktops or on the app. No, the online internet delivered service will continue.
Well, so what does this mean? If we can't transmit when people are on that tower, what are we going to do?
Cry a lot? No, our engineer, the one and only Don Danko, has been working with a couple other broadcasters in the area, and we have a temporary backup site that is currently under construction on the Star Tower on the western side of Cincinnati that will be in place in time for the work on the WCPO tower. Now, we are not exactly sure what the coverage will be, but we do know that the coverage that there is that we will be provided by this location will be somewhat truncated, will be abridged, will be limited, and won't have quite the reach that our current full-service does broadcast antenna provides. But we will certainly, we hope, be able to provide full-service, full coverage, at least within the 275 loop.
Okay. But what about what about for WMUB listeners? Because is that the same thing? Will they be impacted at all?
No, they're on a separate tower in Oxford, and they won't be affected. We're going to maintain coverage on WMUB, so that we hope won't have any won't be at all affected by this.
Jack, my understanding is too. This is really a safety question for the people who have to work on those towers.
Oh, absolutely.
And so what happens? They can't work 24 hours a day. What happens at night? What are our options at that point?
Well, interestingly enough, a lot of tower crews in good weather enjoy working at night.
Okay.
For a variety of different reasons, not the least of which is temperature is usually cooler, especially in the summer. A lot of tower work does go on at night, and I'm sure that some of this will happen at night. On the other hand, when you're hoisting new antennae and new transmission line, you may need the light of day to do that safely. So it'll be a combination of things. But as Rich said, you can't be transmitting these high-power FM or TV signals while somebody is near the antenna. It's radiation. Not good for you.
Not good for you. So what happens? We have a day out there right now where it's raining like mad. Would people be able to work, or if they're not able to work, if it's storming and you're not able to climb on those towers, what would we have the alternative to go back on our regular transmitter?
Yeah, that's the expectation. There's no work that's going to be done on the tower for safety reasons, obviously. And during inclement weather, we will be broadcasting full power.
So, once they start this work, how long does it take?
Well, see, that's one of the things that's kind of irritating, probably for the listener, because there could be Rich may be able to be on the air from 6 a.m. until 9 a.m., and then the tower crew just needs to go up for an hour or so or to do something. They'll have to be off, but then all of a sudden the people tune back at 12 o'clock and you're back. But then, and then as you said, the rain, you know, you could be planning to be off the whole day and then all of a sudden it rains, so you are on. So that's why I think the listener could get confused, and that's why I think Rich is trying to
It's conceivable this work from start to finish could run as long as 3 weeks during or even more. And during the three-week period, we might be off for most of it, or we might be off even for a shorter period as a couple hours per day.
I want to be clear. When we're saying off – it just means we'll be on the reduced.
You've got it.
We may not have as much coverage.
That's correct. We'll be off the main broadcast tower during that time. Right. That's correct.
So people can tune it in and see if, you know, if they're too far north or too far south, they may not be able to get us on their radio as easily. But they'll always be able to go to their app on their phone or to their computer if they're inside.
Yes.
And listen.
That's correct.
That's always going to be there, right?
Yep.
And then when this is over, when that construction process is over, do we go back to the Channel 9 tower?
Yes. We will resume full-time broadcasting from that tower.
Now, for television viewers, since this is about television repacking – now, this is affecting people who are receiving the television signal through their antenna, not cable receive. People who are getting cable, will they notice any difference? They don't have to do anything?
No.
If you get your pull in your signal off your antenna, then what happens?
It'll be very similar to what happened, and it's happened several times. Channel 9, for instance, started off with a digital channel 10, and it didn't work very well when we made the digital transition, and they opted to go to a UHF channel later on. So what has to happen, and this I'm sure the TV stations will be screaming this all over the air, because the only station that won't be changing is Channel 12. Everybody else is changing, both public and commercial TV stations. I'm sure they're going to have to tell their people they have to rescan. If you remember that, when you turned on your TV set, how many digital channels can you get? Or somebody asked, will the old digital converter boxes still work? Yes, but they have to be rescanned.
They have to be rescanned.
To find these new channels.
And I can remember when we did need to do that, there was a good friend of ours, a senior citizen, who had a lot of trouble with the rescanning because he had to do it multiple times sometimes.
Yeah, Jack has that problem on occasion as well. And that's also just another example why radio is so much easier to listen to and so much better. It's so much more user-friendly.
Now, you know, those of us who actually worked in television, you know, pictures and sound together, it has some value in some situations.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What percentage of viewers at this point are pulling their signals in over their antenna? Yeah,
I don't have that stat on me right now. The interesting thing is it's increasing.
It's increasing.
It's increasing. You've heard the term cutting the cord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of people have decided that they'll get their premium channels, so to speak, using Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime. And then for the local stations, Channel 48 or Channel 9, et cetera, they'll just put an antenna up. And luckily here in Cincinnati, you can get at my home, for instance, in Harrison, Ohio, you know, I can get like 35 channels off the air. So a lot of people more people than you would think are using the antenna, and it is moving upwards.
We're going to run out of time here, but when do you think this construction starts, and therefore when do you think people need to be aware of this?
That's the million-dollar question. We were under the impression it was going to start October 1st. We're obviously at the our fate is in somebody else's hands. But WCPO, who has been very cooperative and very communicative, tells us that that date has been delayed because the tower crews that are going to be doing this work have been delayed at the previous job sites. So we don't know. It's day by day.
Well, thank you both for being here.
It's been a pleasure.
There you go.
This is radio.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.